Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. And if you've got a question about our topic today, feel free to give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the air here as well. We've got a special guest in the studio today, Dr. David Smeltz, and we are going to be talking about the subject of Islam and the end times, and we might get into quite a few things, but let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just pray that you would bless the program, use it for your glory. We know a lot of people thinking and wondering about Islam and where it fits into end time events and how we as Christians should react to it. We just pray, Father, that you'd guide us in our conversation today, that we would be glorifying to Christ and we could lift up Jesus to a lost and dying world through it. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, glad to have you with us this afternoon, and as I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, be with you until 2 o'clock here on Live with Pastor Al, and in the studio with me, I have Dr. David Smeltz, and I put the doctor on there so to give you some authority, but I don't think you need the doctor for the authority.
No,
you've got the authority of the Word of God and a lot of knowledge. We had a great time over lunch here this afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Brother Al. I appreciate that. Appreciate the privilege of being able to take this time to be able to talk to some individuals and discuss the future, our future as Christians, because when you look at Islam and see what Islam is doing in the world today, it's very dominating, and it's predominant here in the United States. It's becoming a major topic each and every day. And so we're going to hope to answer some questions and see if we can help some folks today. I'm out of His Word of Truth Ministries. It was founded in 1973. We are missionaries training and working with national pastors in Eastern Europe and Asia. Our website is www.hiswordoftruth.com. That's www.hiswordoftruth.com. I've written 17 books. Those books can be found at amazon.com. All you do is go to Google amazon.com and type in my name, David N. Smeltz, S-M-E-L-T-Z, and you can download the books in Kindle, and they're also available on paperback.
Well, thank you, Dr. Smeltz, and glad to have you on the radio with us today. And we'll get right into it. Time's short on our afternoon program here. But, you know, the world that we live in today just seems to be falling apart. You know, there's every time you turn on the news, there's unrest somewhere, people worried about skyrocketing oil prices, collapsing stock markets, and these things that are happening, unrest in the Middle East. And we see the United States right now in the midst of the shutdown and a turmoil and people wondering what's going to happen. I think the Bible's pretty clear what's going to happen, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's very, very clear.
And Islam plays a part in these last time events, wouldn't you say?
I would say very much so. If you were to look back maybe, say, 40 or 50 years ago, the average Christian or average pastor of an independent Baptist church or even a Presbyterian church or any church would have never thought that Islam would play the part that it is playing today.
And nothing really catches God off guard. He certainly knew what was coming. And likewise, the devil has been trying to do things. And a lot of people out there, including the current pope, and I think the last two popes as well at least, have all said that Islam worships the God of the Bible, the one true God, and they put it up there as the great, one of the great monotheistic faiths. And so that makes some people think, well, they're just worshiping God of the Bible under a different name, Allah. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, the name Allah is the name Allah, and it is drawn from the Arabic name Allah. Muhammad's father was called Muhammad or Allah, Muhammad, and it was a common name. but was also one of the deities. If you go back 6,500 years and you look at the deities, you find the name Allah. Allah was the God, one of the gods. At the Kaaba, when Muhammad went to the Kaaba and the quasi tribes, there was 360 gods there. And these were all of the gods of the different tribes that came in to do trading. And Allah was one of the head gods. He is not the Yahweh of the Bible. He is not the God that a Christian would worship. The name is incorrect when it comes to calling him God, the same God as we have. Actually, the real name of God for us really is I Am. Isn't that what the scripture says?
That's right, and that's what Jesus said. That's why the Jews wanted to stone him, remember?
They
asked who he was, and he said, before Abraham, I am.
Yep.
And they knew he meant that he was God, the creator of heaven and earth. And when we realize this, that the Allah of the Quran is not the God of the Bible, he's a false God, and he is an imposter, that kind of gives you the origins of Islam, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And when you look back and you look at Islam and you look at all of the different gods. Now, first of all, I think we have to really look at Muhammad, because when you look at Muhammad, look at his character. Look how he supposedly received the Quran. Now, Muhammad could not read or write, and there are different interpretations, and there are different people have suggested that Muhammad, when he was receiving this information from the angel Gabriel, which is actually Gabriel, but it's called Gabriel in the Quran, when he was receiving this information, that he actually spewed at his mouth. He actually acted as if he was having some type of seizure.
In fact, he thought he was afraid he was having demonic encounters there.
Yes. He went to Khadija, and he asked Khadija. Khadija was his bride at this time. She had been married before, and she was a very interesting lady. She had a lot of money, and she had hired him on to work in her trading business. And so she saw how well he did work for her and how much money he made her, so she decided that she would marry him. And so when she married him, he went off into the cave, and he came back, and he explained to her what had happened. And she said, it's true. The reason why she said it's true is because he had a mark on his neck. It signified that he had some kind of a special marking from God. And so she believed it. Actually, she went with him to the cave. And when she went with him to the cave, the angel did not appear. So she went in with him inside the cave, and she brought a cape with her. She took the cape, and when she covered herself, the angel supposedly appeared. Now, these are the tales that have been told about Muhammad. Now, actually, he sat on her lap. And when he sat on her lap, supposedly what the tale has said is that she would take the cape and cover herself. And when she covered herself, the angel would speak. Muhammad could not read nor write. His first convert was Khadija.
Well, and that brings us to another point, too, and we're going to kind of move from some of the history here eventually up until present day. But if Muhammad could neither read nor write, where'd the Quran come from? How did he write the Quran? As people say, oh, Muhammad wrote the Quran. Did he?
Just as what the in Islam territories today, in Islam countries, 92% of the population cannot read or write. But all of the children memorized the Quran by age 12. What they did is they memorized the Quran. And so when it came time to actually write the Quran, it was because of one of the caliphs. It was the third caliph who decided that something needed to be done. He called in all of those who had memorized what Muhammad said. And that's how the Quran came about. There was a lot of problems during this time because there were so many different stories, what was true and what was not true. It took 150 years to actually produce what you know today as the Quran.
And so in reality, it was Uthman that actually wrote the Quran.
That's right. That's right.
Even though the authorship is given to Muhammad. But at any rate, the Quran is a book that is viewed as the word of God by millions of people. I guess over a billion people worldwide. I'm trying to remember, I just had
1.6 billion people in the world.
Right. And as a result, it's influenced the world. I mean, we look at the Bible, and of course, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and has influenced billions of people in the world today, still does today. People, Christians, Jews, Roman Catholics, many people influenced by the Bible. And so we look at the people influenced by the Quran today, and we can't just regulate this book to just a little piece of fiction that's out there, not really that important. You know, who cares about it? It's inconsequential. We need to know what it says, don't we?
Yes. And the difference between the Quran and the Bible, and when it comes to understanding, when it comes to interpretation, in your Islamic countries, you are forced to receive the Quran. It is the only book. There is no other book. They have the Hadith, but the Quran is the major book. While here in America and many countries around the world, you have the choice of whether or not you want to accept the Bible. You don't have to. You can accept anything you want to. You can accept the Pearl of Great Price. And here in America, you can accept any book. But if you go into an Islamic country, if you go into Iran, if you go into Indonesia, if you go into many countries, there is the Quran. And that's all that is accepted. It is the book of the people. It is the only book that you can read and study and memorize.
Absolutely right. If I went into Saudi Arabia today with my Bible in my luggage, I wouldn't get very far without giving up the Bible. They would take that and they would destroy it. They would burn it.
Yeah.
And well, we could spend time on that subject, but today we have, I think, one group of people that looks at Islam as a peaceful religion, a noble religion hijacked by a few extremists. And then, of course, there's the other side, I think, that like yourself and myself, that view the Quran that people who view the Quran the way that you and I view our Bible, in other words, we believe it's the Word of God, and we believe that it should guide our behavior and our thoughts and everything. The jihadis are the ones who are actually living the Quran.
Yes. With the estimate of 1.6 billion Muslims in the world, you think just for a moment, if you were only to assume that 10% of them were jihadists, only 10%, can you imagine what kind of force that would be against mankind if that force was to turn against mankind? And that's what the Quran teaches. The Quran teaches that anybody who does not accept Allah as their God, does not accept Muhammad as the messenger of Allah, then they are infidels and they should be killed. So just take that 10%. Now, that's a lot. Now, right here in America, it's estimated that we have anywhere between 2 and 7 million Muslims in this country. I'm talking about real Muslims. I'm not talking about the Nation of Islam out of Chicago. I'm talking about real Muslims who have moved into this country. If you were to take a percentage of those Muslims, you could put an army together. And you could put, can you imagine the effect that they could have on the United States if they were to only believe, if they were just to believe that Allah is the only way and Muhammad is his messenger? That is the greatest fear that we must fear, because they are so insistent upon what they believe and that it is the only way, no other way but their way.
Exactly. In fact, I remember when the Cold War ended and the Soviet Union crumbled and the wall around Berlin fell, the Berlin Wall came down, I remember telling my wife that the very next thing that we were going to have to deal with was Islam, fundamentalist Islam, and because of things that I had seen when I was in the Air Force. And if you look at that, Islam has an eschatology, a view of end times, just like the Bible does. Mm-hmm. And of course, the Bible is God's view of end times, and the Quran reflects man and Satan's view of end times. And if you could, in about 5 minutes, because I'm watching the clock, we got about 10, 15 minutes to go, but in about 5 minutes, what would be the Islamic view of the end times, the Islamic eschatology?
Well, the way Islam believes, it's divided up into two basic groups. First, you have the Shiites, and then you have the Sunnis. The Shiites believe that there is the Mahdi, which was in occultation at this present time, will come up out of the well. And when he comes up out of the well, Jesus Christ will return with him, and Jesus Christ will come to kill the Christians. Now, this is an interesting thought, because when you think about the rapture of the church, And when the rapture takes place, all of the Christians, all of the born again, washed in the blood believers will disappear. They will be raptured out, taken out. All of the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then the living shall follow. Now, what a wonderful time for the Arabic League nations to turn around and say, guess what? All of those Christians that have disappeared, they were killed by the Mahdi or by Jesus Christ himself. Their basic belief is that they will control and take over the world. And that's what their goal is. That's what's happening right now over in Iran. Iran is building a super weapon for one purpose, and that is to give it to the Mahdi, because when he comes up out of the well, they want to hand the world to him. It's very, very clear in Scripture. When you look at Daniel chapter 11, you can look at Daniel chapter 11, verses 35 to 45. It talks about the nations from the south that have come up. Most believe today that those nations that are coming up from the south are the Arabic League nations. They're coming to do battle. This is all a plan of God. God is going to draw Israel, Islam, because the church will be gone. Remember now, the church is out of here. Islam and Israel will be judged by God. Because remember, those are the two key parts, because you have to go back to Abraham and the covenant that Abraham had with God. And then you have to also look at Ishmael and what God had promised him. And then there's another person that came into the picture. Her name was Keturah. She had six sons. So when you look at all of this coming together, you see that this whole basis of this great time that's known as the time of Jacob's trouble is going to be to bring every knee to bow to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
And that is amazing. We sometimes think about all the things going on in the tribulation, the plagues and the disasters and the wars and things like that. But it's like you said, the end result is every knee shall bow and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. And, even ultimately at the end, if you read the end of the book, the Bible, even Satan himself will bow.
That's right.
Before Jesus. But it'll be too late for some, because they'll be cast into the lake of fire. That's why people need to trust Christ as their Savior before that happens. Well, we've got a caller calling in. And, of course, you're listening live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. We have Nancy calling in. And Nancy, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Pastor Al. And what a blessing to hear Dr. Smeltz. I hope I'm saying his name right, too.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's very interested in the Muslim religion and how it seems to be dominating the world. And I've heard that the United States could be mainly Muslim by 2050, but that's not why I'm calling. I'm thinking about Isaiah 5:20. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. And I'm thinking about Obama, who I'm sure is a Muslim, and I would like Dr. Smeltz's opinion on that, because everything he does is evil, but he calls it good. Homosexuality is good, according to him. Abortion is good, according to him. Taking Jesus out of everything is good, according to him. And it seems to me that he is a very, very active Muslim, but more or less in hiding, because he sympathizes with all these Muslim leaders across the world. So I would just like Dr. Smeltz to comment on President Obama being a Muslim or not being a Muslim. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, when you do the research on President Obama, you have to realize that he was raised Muslim. He had the Quran. He was taught the Quran. He memorized the Quran in a school in Jakarta. Matter of fact, we did the research. We actually contacted our contacts in Jakarta to do the research on where he went to school at. He was registered in the school as a Muslim. It was a Catholic Muslim school, but he was registered as a Muslim. That means he went to prayer five times a day. That means he knew all of the Quran. He has memorized the Quran. I'm sure he's very familiar with the Quran. And so when you look at those characteristics, and then you have to go back to one real characteristic, is that every child that is born to a Muslim, the father whispers into his ear that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger.
That's right.
And so that is whispered into that child's ear, and continually over and over and over again. So the characteristics of Obama and what he does and how he acts all of those things that he does each and every day characterize that of a Muslim.
I agree.
The arrogance that he shows, the mm-hmm. tremendous amount of arrogance, the fact mm-hmm. that it has to be his way and only his way, that mm-hmm. is definitely Islam. That's the way Islam.
Amen.
That's just the way Islam looks at it. So all of the characteristics of this man show forth that he has Islamic background and Islamic traits. Now, mm-hmm. whether he's a sleeper, that would be the question. Is he a sleeper? I can't answer that for you. But I can okay. tell you that his characteristics, everything that he does, shows forth that he is Islamic. His approach with all the Islamic nations, his agreement with all the Islamic nations.
Absolutely.
One of the things that people need to remember is that he can communicate with the Islamic nation in their own tongue.
You know, the interesting thing talking about the Islamic nations, remember his supposed faux pas when he was on his first election campaign? Mm-hmm. He referenced the 57 states.
Right.
How many states in the Islamic?
57 states.
57 states. Right. So how big of a faux pas was that? He just was referring to a different group of states. Yeah. Nancy, we're running short of time here right now. I appreciate your call.
Thank you. Thank you for that excellent answer.
Well, thank you. One of the downsides of our Friday afternoon program is we only have a half an hour. That's why I invite people to listen to us on Sunday night as well, where we have a whole hour from 11 o'clock mm-hmm. until midnight. And I appreciate your call, Nancy. And
Thank you very much.
Dr. Smeltz, I'm glad to have had you in the studio with us today. And, you know, it's an interesting topic. We're going to have to get you back on the air sometime and talk some more about these things because our clock is quickly running out on us here. But give a quick information again, your website and where you're going to be preaching Sunday as well as this coming week and how people can get in touch with you.
Our website is www.hisword.truth.com. If you want to get our books, you can go to amazon.com and just Google my name, David N. Smeltz, S-M-E-L-T-Z. It will take you to all of the books that I've written. There's several books on Islam, and then there's four books on Islam. This weekend, we will be at Milheim Baptist Church here in the Akron area. And I'll be speaking there. Next weekend, I'll be starting a six-day meeting in Marietta, Ohio at Marietta Baptist Temple. And I encourage all of you to come out and visit with us. I'd like to meet you. And I'm sure that the pastors there in the church would love to meet you also. And we thank you so much.
All right. Appreciate that. And I'm so glad to have been able to have you on the program today. And big topic, Islam and Islam in relation to the end times and all that. We've only kind of scratched the surface there. And, you know, when you think about this, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are what?
Carnal.
Are not carnal, but they're what? I'll put you on the spot there. Yeah. What's the weapons that we have? We have prayer.
Prayer, right.
We have the Word of God.
That's right, yeah.
We have the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, He said at the end of Matthew chapter 28 that He's going with us. He said into all the world, and He says, I'm with you always.
Always to the end of the earth.
He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. And we've talked about Islam, and we've talked about end times, and you can be fearful. Or you can accept the Bible and what it says about Jesus Christ, the testimony of Christ, and the gospel message is good news. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He shed His blood to pay for our sins. And if you're fearful about Islam and what's happening in the world around us, why don't you investigate what the Bible has to say? The Bible will encourage you. It'll point you to the good news of Jesus' sacrifice for our sins. And you can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you don't have to worry about Islam. You don't have to worry about the tribulation period, because you'll know based on God's word that when Jesus shout or the archangel shouts, the trumpets sounds, that Jesus is going to catch you up to be in heaven with Him, as the Bible says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And then you'll get a ringside seat from heaven to see how these things play out. You know, we've talked about a number of things here today. Closing thought, got just about a minute, real quick, just 30 seconds.
The closing thought is this: remember that Jesus loves you, Amen. And remember that God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Do not be afraid, my friend, for Jesus is coming soon.
Amen. You know, you don't have that hope in the Quran, do you?
No, sir.
Our
no,
Bible,
sir.
God is a God of love.
And
Allah
mercy.
Is not.
No.
He is not a God of love
That's
and
right.
mercy. He and well, stay tuned. Join us again next week. And again, encourage you to visit us at our Friday night Bible study tonight. If you'd like to pursue this topic some more, we'll be talking about it. And the information's coming up. And join us again Sunday night for our Late Night Live with Pastor Al program at 11 o'clock coming up Sunday night. God bless. Have a great weekend. Amen.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations